when I was just browsing YouTube to see what content existed for the Sigma News story for Stubbs Mansion, the former governor of Kansas, that's when I learned of Rob Garcia and his work. And I know you were on the team with him. And if you watch the video series, you'll learn more about your investigation there at the former governor's mansion.
Matt DeSarl did something cool for lockdown. I mean, this whole thing for 2020 has thrown us into a tizzy, and some people have been able to continue working in some way, shape, or form. Others completely waylaid, and others working from home, whatever the case was. This was a really opportune time for those of us who could be creative and maybe have some other opportunities to take a trip off the beaten path. Now, I do that a lot when I deal with the hauntings and ghosts and things like that. And so this time, Matt DeSarl called, and I answered, to go revisit a place that was haunted. Now, first, Matt, what do you do, and how was this different from your normal routine? So just go ahead and give us a backstory and tell us who you are.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Wendy. So my name is Matt DeSarl, and I have a small video production company in Lawrence, Kansas, Matt Easy Media, LLC. Under normal circumstances, myself and my crew, we are producing documentary-style videos for local businesses, regional organization. The video series, it was always something in the back of my mind where I wanted my company to tackle some more original programming, and this was just ghost stories was something that kind of was a tradition of my family that we told ghost stories. So there was actually a lot of different factors that kind of went into why I went that route during the coronavirus.
FreeStateHorrorStories.tv. FreeStateHorrorStories.tv. That's where you can check it out. How did this, because this is the first one, is the Haunted Stubbs Mansion.
I'm originally from upstate New York, so I'm not originally from the Florence area in Kansas. My wife and I, we've lived here in this region now for about 8 years. And something that's very different, you know, where I grew up, there was kind of the American Revolution history was very much kind of in the forefront. And when we moved to Kansas and I learned more about the Civil War era history, you know, that had always interested me because to me, it just seems like such a new, it's actually in the grand scheme of things, a very new history. And there are implications, obviously, today from this that still remain from the Civil War era. And so moving to Kansas and learning about the history, not only in the region, but in Lawrence specifically, yeah, that's always been a subject area that just on a personal level, I've just taken interest to. And so in wanting to produce a video series about ghost stories and paranormal and learning more about this area as a kind of did research for a potential video series, you know, during the coronavirus pandemic, when we were basically quarantined, it made sense to kind of start this Kansas, you know, like a statewide video series about paranormal storyline, with kind of the first season being focused here in Lawrence. And just in doing the research, I met Paul Thomas, who is a library specialist at KU, and he's also an author of Haunted Lawrence. And he partnered up with Beth Cornegay for that book. In speaking with Paul early on in sort of my research process, he had suggested a few storylines in Lawrence that may be worth looking into, one of which was the story at Sigma Nu. And, of course, the Eldridge Hotel is, I think, just generally in maybe your top five if you just Google Lawrence ghost stories, something to that effect. My crew, we really tried to tell the story, the history surrounding the ghost stories that we engaged with. And also learning more about paranormal investigation and that entire arena, which I really had not, you know, done any research in the past with, you know, I got a chance to meet you and also Rob Garcia, who's a paranormal investigator based out of Kansas City. So it really just kind of evolved, and it was a project that I started doing research for in June, in July,
mm-hmm.
and shooting and editing this. So kind of the final publishing date, and we aired it. We published a new video every Wednesday night in October. So there were four videos that now live on YouTube. But, you know, over the course of those 4 months, I think I really learned a lot about paranormal investigations, the entire, I guess, you know, culture around that and following, and but then also the history, kind of the history of, you know, of Lawrence and of Kansas.
That's okay. I'm going to interrupt because that's the fascinating part about this. This series is excellent. If you, if you're a novice and you don't know anything about Kansas, that's fantastic. But if you've also lived in Kansas and are familiar with the Midwest, having some of the backstory is it's fascinating. And there's, you know, things that, I grew up here. So I'm familiar with a lot of this stuff, but then there was new information and that was part of the process of learning not only about the horror story, the ghost story, the behind the scenes, whether that was truth or fiction, was, I think, really interesting in the way you've laid it out with the person coming in with the backstory of the history and then the people who were part of the paranormal investigations. Beth Korngay, that's what she does. She does ghost tours and things like that. So there she is telling you part of the story. And it was so fun to see all the different elements and how you wove them together.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I think that, you know, kind of the popular video content, obviously in the last decade or so has been, you know, paranormal investigations, whether it's an hour long show or half an hour TV show. And they're kind of searching for that gotcha moment where they, you know, they expose a recording or something moves in the background, you know, and that's not what I intended to produce. What I wanted to produce was more open-ended and create a series where this can be an annual tradition where, you know, statewide within Kansas and kind of explore some of the paranormal and some of the historical elements of ghost stories. And it's intentionally, you know, the video series is intentionally called Free State Horror Stories and not Free State Ghost Stories, because I didn't want it to be limited to ghost stories, and I didn't want the connotation to be kind of that gotcha moment on camera where you're producing a TV show kind of building up to this one moment where you're teasing some sort of recording that shows up or, mm-hmm. like I said, something that's happening there in person. When I was just browsing YouTube to see what content existed for the Sigma News story, Stubbs Mansion, the former governor of Kansas, that's when I learned of Rob Garcia and his work. And I know you were on the team with him, and if you watch the video series, you'll learn more about your investigation there, mm-hmm. At the former governor's mansion. And just learning about that that investigation, Rob kind of has the same attitude where, you know, he's coming to the investigations with a respect for the history and a curiosity about the history, and it's less about, you know, what kind of fascinating moment might live on a recording. So it was great to talk with him as well. I kind of shared the attitude that he brings to his, you know, really his career and his work as a paranormal investigator.
He does the EVPs. So you're listening with his, and he does a, you know, so lays out whatever he's going to do, the format for the house, the residence, the park, wherever he's at, he lays that out to try to get some kind of audio. So he has a sensitive equipment, and he's waiting for some kind of result. And sometimes it's obvious, you know, you can definitely hear what it is. Other times it takes a little bit more of discernment trying to figure out, okay, how does this piece together? Or it will be a direct response, which is then also interesting. And where does that come from? He doesn't jump to conclusions. That's what I liked about working with him. He doesn't project his own, what he thinks it should be on it. He says, well, okay, this might be it. This is what we found. You decide. We're going to take a quick break. Okay. Quick break. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to let you add to the story of what else you discovered working with Rob, because that's what you go with each of these people. You go through and you kind of ask each person what their impression was and how they fit into this story. FreeStateHorrorStories.tv. FreeStateHorrorStories.tv. That's where you can check it out. Quick break. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Ghosts are 24/7. It doesn't matter what's going on in our physical world. Ghosts are part of it. And seen and unseen, they do have an impact on some of us, especially if you're living or visiting a haunted space. And that's what we're talking about. My guest, Matt DeSarl.
What we continuously heard over filming the series is that it's really the guests who, it wasn't even on their radar that it was a haunted mansion or a haunted hotel, or that they were staying in a haunted room or a haunted floor, and they kind of learn through a rough night of sleep that you know, there may be some other visitors there on the floor.
We're talking about the program that he has, Free State Horror stories, and horror as opposed to ghosts, just spooky, haunted, unexplained, all the stuff that happens that we don't really have a concrete explanation for that makes it interesting and fascinating and sometimes a tad scary if you don't know the backstory. Like if you're living in the Sigma Nu house and you didn't know it was haunted because somehow it missed you. So when you're going to school, you could be going to a place that's haunted. And what happens when you experience it? You can't say no when it just happened. You say, what the heck? So Matt, you've got the backstory, right?
Right. So as I mentioned, each of the storylines are basically a two-parter because we did one episode every week. And so in October, there were naturally four episodes. And each, you know, classic story is a two-parter. And in the first part of each story, both the Sigma Nu story and the Eldred story, in the first part of each respective, storyline, the first piece we really tackled what is kind of the classic folklore? What is the story that's been, the ghost story that's been passed down from generation to generation, if you will. So we kind of established that in the first piece. And then in the second episode of each of these storylines, I'll stop short of saying we poke holes at the folklore, but we definitely kind of take it a step further and look at what was the actual history of that time, what is going on currently, you know, like a place like the Eldridge, you know, what's happening with that, with the actual landmark today, what sort of hauntings are people having firsthand, and how are they describing that, and who's coming forward, you know, at the hotel and claiming to have an experience. And interestingly, you learn is that, you know, it's the people who are, even though they have a great deal of fanfare and people who are visiting the hotel for the paranormal and to connect with the paranormal, whether it's bringing a Ouija board or if you're, you know, Rob Garcia doing EVPs or any sort of investigation, what we continuously heard over filming the series is that it's really the guests who, it wasn't even on their radar that it was a haunted mansion or a haunted hotel, or that they were staying in a haunted room or a haunted floor. And they kind of learned through a rough night of sleep that, you know, there may be some other visitors there on the floor. So in the second part of each of the stories, we kind of look at what's happening currently and also the history surrounding, you know, each of these stories, like with the governor's mansion, Governor Walter Roscoe Stubbs, the governor who served, I believe it was 1907 to 1911. And, you know, the sort of folklore story is about his maid, a young woman who lived, at his mansion, and whether or not he had an affair with this woman. And you'll see if you watch the series or if you read books about the folklore, kind of what the rumor and speculation is surrounding their relationship and the ghost story that kind of came about as a result of that. You know, I wanted to take a kind of a fresh look at what was the history of the time. And so Governor Stubbs is actually originally from Indiana, but he moved as a small child. His family moved to what is now Eudora, Kansas. And so the Eudora Historical Society and the museum director there, Bence Williger, he was kind enough to join me in an interview and kind of paint the backstory in terms of Governor Stubbs' upbringing. And you know, I think there's even a soundbite in the video series from Ben where he says, I don't believe in ghost stories. I don't believe in paranormal. I don't believe in anything that can't be, you know, proven by science. But, mm-hmm. you know, he was a good sport to kind of set the table in terms of what is the history of the Stubbs family and the Quaker community that he grew up in Eudora. And also what were sort of the highlights of his political life. So I got to learn about, you know, one of the governors of Kansas who is from Douglas County. And that was a really interesting part of the story, that I felt kind of blessed to learn about that. And honestly, I went into the storyline thinking that maybe we would be telling more of the story of who this maid was, who is this young woman, and telling more biographical about her. But I think as we kind of continued, you know, capturing that story, you can help me out in telling this part of it. I mean, you kind of learned that, you know, maybe that character didn't even exist, and maybe some politics instead played into this. But I found it I found it very relevant and very interesting that how progressive of a governor for his time, Governor Stumpf was, and learning what his policies were and learning the progressive nature of his politics in the Republican wing of the Kansas climate at that time politically. And learning about that is just pretty fascinating and I think relevant in today's landscape. Obviously it's very possible that his entire storyline was just created by his political foes.
And I think that's part of what these ghost stories and this history is about, the overlays of the emotion that's all around these things. This is Bleeding Kansas. This is, you know, all this stuff that's happening. You've got the Jayhawkers. You've got people going across the state line, wreaking havoc. I've done ghost stories up in Weston for the past, not this last year, but the history of going back and forth and burning the towns. Weston's included with Lawrence, and these two had little battles. And that's still there, at least for me as an intuitive going in. That is still present. What I found so fascinating about this is all that backstory, the history, and you were just going in for like a ghost story, and then all of a sudden, an even more interesting part of it kind of appeared.
Absolutely, and I found it very interesting, and you know, you and I had an hour-long conversation on camera for the series, and we went into a variety of topics, and one thing that did make the cut, if you will, was how you approach any paranormal investigation with an open mind, and you don't want to read the backstory. You want to go in with a fresh mindset. And I found that very interesting because as a documentary style video producer, that's how I want to approach. I mean, of course, if I'm working with a client, I want to do my homework and have a general understanding of what the brand identity is. But there are a lot of times I learn elements of a storyline for local business that maybe they're not doing a good enough job chopping out those human interest stories that exist in, you know, inside their own walls and organizations. So, you know, I've always kind of taken that mindset as a journalist that I don't want to come in with any preconceived notion. And you share that in a parallel universe with the way you approach paranormal investigations. So, if I can ask you, how did you, what was your knowledge of the Virginia story there at Sigma Nu before you, you know, walked onto the property, and how did your, I guess, impressions evolve once you kind of connected with that story in real time in person?
Okay, before we get into that, I'm going to back up and reset. Free State Horror Stories. This is the Virginia ghost story at Stubbs Mansion, and I was involved in this. It's been 10 years. So some of my memory, I had to go back and look at a few notes and see what was written in the journal, Lawrence Journal World. I worked with Rob Garcia and was invited to be part of a paranormal crew as an intuitive. And I really, it wasn't anything that I had any preconceived notion about. I didn't know the backstory. So we'll start there. But in the meantime, just saying that there's a lot that goes into this, and going into a space when there is energy, I can feel it. I can sense it. It's something that it's just, I don't know how to explain any process. It's just there. And it, the more you do it, the more sensitive you become, I think. So that was part of what was going on. And no, I didn't have a clue about what was going to happen here. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, and the problem is I do need to take a break before I get into any more of this. So Free State Horror Stories, Episode 1 and 2, The Virginia Ghost Story at Stubbs Mansion. And you can also check out the Eldridge Hotel story as well. These are excellent stories, and it was so fun to be part of this. So we're going to come back, and I'll finish up or add to more of my experience at the Stubbs Mansion, Sigma Nu, on the KU campus at Lawrence. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Matt DeSarl is my guest, and he has Maddie Media. He's a video producer, and if you want any kind of video production, he's your guy. I was really impressed being part of this project for the Free State Horror Stories, seeing the final product. I have no idea. Somebody said, hey, you did this event 10 years ago. So it's been a while. Would you like to be part of this project? Well, sure, why not? It sounded like fun. Okay, Matt, before the break, we were talking about my interest and what I would do to go in and how I was involved in this. They were doing an investigation. At that part, I can't remember how I got the call. I think somebody who was working with the crew knew about me somehow, and they just invited me to go along as an intuitive to see what I picked up as we toured the Sigma Nu house. They also had some other people on site who were doing a ghost hunt, that kind of thing. So when they all set up, and this was another guy setting up with his information, his material, and he also did the sound and some kind of background that had a lot of equipment. I'm not familiar with all that. So all I do is go in and say, this is what I feel, this is what I pick up on. They do all the mechanics, the engineering, and all the tech. So that's all done without me having a clue what's happening. In the meantime, so Rob's setting up his equipment as well. So these guys are doing it. And all this is published in the Lawrence Journal World, I believe. That's still accessible. I've checked it out a couple times online to see what the upshot was. I had no information, no backstory. I just knew I was going to go to a frat house in Lawrence that was haunted. And then from there, see what I picked up. There was one point walking through, and I heard music and singing. So it was like, okay, this was a room where it was a very uplifting, upbeat sound, energy, feeling. And I remember saying that, and Rob picked that up on his audio. Said, so as you're walking along, which makes you kind of paranoid knowing Rob's hearing everything. And then some. That's how sensitive that stuff is in this huge, huge house. Anyway, he's got it all laid out and mapped out, knowing that these are the hot spots. And so he's curious about what happens. And I don't know any of that. So I told him, well, yeah, there was a definite sense, impression of singing and just, upbeat, lighthearted energy in that space. Maybe somebody who was in that at one point had been musically inclined or whatever. I've had that experience at the Stanley Hotel in Colorado as well. So that was one thing that was an impression. Another impression that was actually a little bit more direct was that I was there two different times. First for the initial investigation walkthrough, and then again for the reveal. And each time, my necklace was undone. And this is a necklace with a little clasp on it that doesn't, you have to undo it to take it off. Each time the clasp came undone and it slipped down my shirt. So that, for me, that's like a ha ha ha, hello. Are you paying attention? Yeah.
Right.
And so I don't find that, I find it entertaining because for one, the first time was like, okay, maybe I can say maybe I didn't put it on strong enough. Somehow I missed, it didn't really work. Well, the second time, then that's it came off by itself and it wasn't me. So the having that happen again in that same environment is my way of saying, okay, yes, this is not just me making it up. This is something. So that's nice to be able to go back to a place more than once and have a similar event happen just as in a way of affirming that you're not jumping to conclusions or manufacturing something that makes it fit the scene. So I didn't know anything about it. And it was fascinating to me to hear the final story and kind of have a little bit of validation that what I was picking up on kind of played out, because I was blank when it came to some of that, the story that around the mistress. Potential.
Absolutely.
Mistress. That was I think I got a name for it, but at the same time, it just didn't fit. So I wasn't picking up on that. It doesn't mean it isn't real or it isn't there. It's just, for me, it went a different direction with somebody else who seemed to me a stronger presence in that space. And she seems to be more of a caretaker, a mother, looking over the shoulder, the spirit that at one point was happy in that space. And there have been a lot of people there. I don't have a name. I just had the impression that she's quite solid and not really intending on going anywhere. And this is where you get into the conversation with the ghost people and saying, well, why don't you free the spirit? Well, you know what? That's not my job. The job for me is to go at
right.
this point and say, here, this is what's here. And the reason for that is the more people go into a space and bring their own stuff into it, you cannot, at least in my experience, I'm not the person who can clear that space when they keep dragging stuff in. It's like an antique shop. One goes out, another
right.
one comes in. And so that's not what I'm there for. I'm there to say, is there something? Yeah, in my experience, yes, there's something. So you're going to get tapped on the shoulder. You're going to have these little something whispering in your ear. It isn't your imagination. It's just saying, are you awake? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we approach our profession, and you're also a journalist as well. And So for me as a journalist, I'm just naturally a skeptic. So, you know, I wanted to approach this video series where I'm inviting kind of a balanced mix of spokespeople who are talking about, you know, interview subjects who are talking about sort of the classic folklore. And then, you know, on the other end of the ledger, you know, more of the science and the history, interviews. And, but I will tell you, I learned in this process and in talking with you that you are truly, truly gifted. And, you know, I'm a person of faith. I won't digress too far, down that rabbit trail, but I mean, I'm a person of faith, and I, and it's cliche, but I believe that everything happens for a reason. And I know that it was that I was meant to meet you, and we were meant to speak at this time, and I was meant to produce this video series and to kind of bring folks behind the curtain just a little bit. You know, you had shared with me, some information that you were gathering from my family members that no one on this earth would know otherwise, that you and I had never met each other in person. We spoke on the phone before I interviewed you. We had a conversation about the ghost story and about, you know, your recollection of that investigation, like you said, from a decade ago. But, you know, other than that, we had never met each other. But when we were interviewing in person, I could tell, and even in watching the recording, even in watching the raw interview, it seemed like you were distracted as you were gathering information, not only from the Virginia ghost story, but from my life as well. So, what is that like for you? Is that truly distracting for you? Because there were just a few moments in our interview where you actually did look like there was another person actually talking to you off camera, and I found that fascinating. I wanted to ask you about that.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't even think about that. I don't think about that. But yeah, I in terms of seeing me talk to somebody off camera, I'm like, oh, was it that obvious? Forgetting that, yeah, I'm kind of on display, and that, yeah, that was part of it. Well, the fun thing that for me, it felt right, because this is a COVID deal. We're trying to do social distancing. And so for me, choosing a space was important, and going out there to where we filmed this, Sesquicentennial Park. Are you happy now?
Right, yeah.
I could not say that. That day, there was just no way. That brain was not, it was like a train wreck every time I tried to say that. So he found a good edit. Thank you. Thank you. Brilliant. And put that in there. I was just like, I don't, you know, whatever, but I'll, probably because of that distraction thing. And that, what that happens for me is when something is like that, it's like, pay attention. There's something else trying to come through. And, it can be a little disorienting, because when I pick up on something, it's like, do I need to say this? Is this relevant? Is it important? Or is this just something that I can acknowledge? Yes, I hear it, but this isn't the right time. Okay. We're going to take a break. Because let me gather my thoughts and come back and address that, all right? So, again, Matt DeSarl, Matty Media, video production company, and this is a fantastic series. I was so, so impressed with the result of your Eldridge Hotel project and the one with the Sigma Nu Virginia story. It's just so fun to watch these and see the direction you guys went, and including the history.
And I have to admit, I didn't know what to expect. And so it was fun to see how you did the storyline with Virginia at the Sigma Nu House. Back in a few, Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House, with my guest, Matt DeSarl.
When you asked me to piece about my family life, about my personal life, it was almost as if like a lightning bolt like shot in the background and came to both of our attention, because you were obviously connecting with something, and you had to share it with me. And when you shared it with me, it was like it stopped me in my tracks, because I couldn't believe, you know, that you knew, you know, the certain element of my personal life. And so it was just, you know, especially being someone who I think has a healthy, you know, skepticism about really all things that I'm kind of navigating with video production. You know, it was a very moving moment, and I was kind of curious what it looked like on your end.
first, we were in a place where it was private. So there weren't people who could overhear it. And I could ask you, is this okay? You know, are you open? May I share this or whatever? I could at least permission instead of just doing it. And that's another thing about it. You know, it's just because you have information doesn't mean it's appropriate. And sometimes you just have to let it slide. It's just because there's something that wants to connect doesn't mean it's always the right place, right time. And so I've had to learn how to step aside. But that time it seemed this was important, and it was part of the whole reason for the setting, for the content, all of that was to say, okay, this is how it works. And this is why it's important to listen to our intuition. Because to me, it's more about intuition than being psychic. It's more of a thing of there's this other element that's around us all the time, and we can pay attention to it. And sometimes it can save our lives.
Right.
The other thing is it can also comfort us and give us insight to help us better connect and get us through times that might be difficult. So it comes through me, and it might look like I'm talking to someone else, which I hadn't ever even whoa, okay, you threw me a curve. I'm thinking, whoa, it looked like that on camera. Okay, most of the time I just hear it, you know, so I'm not really thinking about where it's coming from. But yeah, it is, it's another element. Sometimes I hear a voice, sometimes I see images or get impressions or sensations or smells. It's all across the board. And they have all these words for it. I just say it's an insight and intuition, and you can call it whatever you want. We all have it, and mine just is louder sometimes than others. So,
yeah, very cool.
That's part of what it was about. But the other thing too is I forget it. So it's not mine. I just pass it on and have that connection. So honestly, I don't really remember because it's not my information. It's like listening to somebody tell you a long, long story or show you a movie, but since it doesn't relate to you, you don't know the characters, you don't know the cast, you have no idea how it's a charades. You're just saying, does this make sense to you? Does this fit? Okay, then go from there, and that's it.
Yeah, I felt like you were very respectful to me and to my privacy in that moment in my own personal life. It was almost like if you saw me walking along the highway and you stopped to ask me if I wanted a ride or not, you know, I may have wanted to get in the car and taken that journey at that point, or may have passed on it. But you know, I jumped on the train and the interview about the Virginia story kind of had played itself out, and we kind of transitioned at that point. I wanted to produce an additional chapter to the video series that kind of spoke to the meaning of setting where we had interviewed and kind of the meaning that it has in your life and what was going on with on even that day. You had brought the family dog there in the past, and
okay,
and you talked about waking up that morning and feeling a fresh scent and a clean slate, and I was wondering if that, you know, memories and nostalgia you may have had for that park on that day.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Yeah. See, this is another thing where it's fresh that day and then it's gone. And yes, I would have written it down in my notes, my diary. I keep a daily, most of the time, a journal. And that would have been something we had to, my dog Gracie was euthanized in August. And she, I had had her since she was a little tot. She was 14, and it was just that time. Her body was saying, I've been here for the long haul. And then we had the other little dog that would travel with her. So it was a park that we went to, and she loved walking around that area. And they were off leash, and so they could walk around the fields. I grew up in the country, so these fields just feels like home. So that was a clean slate. But the other part of that was that as we were doing this, when you're looking at the timing of this particular piece of history, behind us is this walk, and it's Sesquicentennial Park has a little time capsule at the bottom that you'll open in year, whatever year I won't be around for. I think it might be 2080 something. Anyway, there are stones, and each one has a year where somebody might have put a dedication or a memory or a name, you know, significant donor, whatever. And all these stones are there. And then the interesting fact was clean slate. And the ones that relate to the time of history that this happened are clean. They're fresh. There's something that can be written on those stones. And I think that's an invitation and an opportunity and a reminder that history is still being written.
Yeah.
You know, so that was, the timing of that for me that was more significant. And not only that, because of that, right place, right time. so I could connect my dots and say, right. for whatever reason, it was important to have been here in this moment. That's how I work with it.
And I'm sorry for your loss. I'm growing up with dogs. I'm such a dog person, and I'm sorry that you lost Gracie. The next email correspondence that we had, you told me that you had lost Gracie, and I was so sorry for your loss. And looking back at the footage, it felt to me that there was almost a moment in shooting that sequence where you were almost memorializing her life and connecting with her spirit. And my heart goes out to you on that loss for your family. And I felt like she was there with us as a family member. Not to sound too cheesy, but I mean, I just felt like that was a part of the story. I kind of grappled with how to tell that, if or how to tell that story in the video series. So thank you for sharing some of that with me today.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing about editing and doing a story. Sometimes you have to stay on track. And my life, as you can tell, sometimes has lots of distractions. And the one thing I've had to learn how to do better is edit and consolidate. And, okay, this is a story for another day. And that was, so this is that other day. So that's a pretty cool thing. Hey, thank you. I really appreciate being part of this, and I love what you're doing, and I hope that you add some more stories. And so for anyone listening, the Free State Horror Stories series is on YouTube. It's also available at freestatehorrorstories.tv, and I'm in the one that is, you know, what about Virginia? I'm thinking about what about last night? Something.
Right. That's episode 2. The episode 2 in the series.
Oh, the Virginia story at Stubbs Mansion. And then the Eldridge Hotel. Did you ever stay overnight at the Eldridge? I'm just curious.
See, I did not. I don't feel like I needed to stay overnight in order to make my cameras available and my sound recording equipment available to whomever past or present wanted to,
yes.
wanted to engage with our video crew. There's a level of respect that I have that I'm not looking to poke the bear. I'm looking to make the camera available to the bear if the bear wants to engage, but I'm interested in telling the history surrounding the bear, I guess.
Okay, I understand. You wanted to retain your objectivity and not get sucked into the story, okay? That's the way you go approach it.
Right.
I'm objective. I'm keeping my distance so I can tell a good story and not jump to conclusions and get scared.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big scaredy cat, and I also had enough issues with the battery life of my cameras during the
yes.
filming of the video series. I didn't need to entertain doing a marathon video shoot overnight. So there you have it.
Oh, man. And we didn't even get into that. Rob Garcia's got a haunted house, too, that you need to check out in Garnett. The batteries. I have activity in my house, and what it will do is play with the mouse. I will try to do whatever, and it will take the mouse all across the board. And I'm like, okay, quit it. Quit it. Stop it. And I'll know, and then it'll get cold. The room will get cold, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Rob did spend an evening. He did about a four-hour session with us at room 506, the haunted room 506 at the Eldridge. So we did do an evening paranormal investigation session. We just did not, literally stay overnight with cameras rolling. And Rob is just a wealth of information and a history buff as well. So big, big thank you to him. And thank you, Wendy, for having me today. Thank you for your contribution to the video series. It could not have been the special series that it was without you.
Thank you. Thank you. Obviously, Matt DeSarl needs some work because he's a video producer and he can do fantastic shows, especially if it involves haunted stuff. So let's get him some more ghost work, okay? Some more stuff to work with that. I'm hoping you're going to get some good suggestions and some people to help support you as well.
Anonymous, you can send anonymous ghost story tips to MattyDmedia@gmail.com. Just email me and I will definitely look into it. So thank you for having me, Wendy.
And I'm going to post some links. It's TalkingToNightLights.com, the WordPress site. I'm posting there now. So I'll post some links there, and you'll hear the show in replay on Audio Boom, Wendy's Coffee House. Thanks for listening.